This is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
So this is Radio Free Cybertron for January 16th, 2013. I am your host, Brian Kilby, and with me this week we have J.D. Church, Rob Clay, and from Superhero Time, Paladin. Hey, Paladin, how's it going?
Oh, not too terrible yet.
I think this is the first time you've been on, like, live during the show.
Probably, yes.
Yes, so it's the first time, at least, with me. So, how's it going? So, tell us about yourself, real quick.
I'm just a normal collector who somehow got shanghaied into doing a Superhero Time podcast.
That's pretty awesome. So, question for you. So, I was thinking back, and are you the same Paladin from Cybertron? You're not. Okay.
Probably not.
Good, okay.
I might be. I just don't remember that far back.
Yes. Okay. Talking about the old Dalnet chat room, which I'm betting is still there. Probably.
Doesn't ring a bell for me.
Okay. So you're probably not that old.
Do I look that old?
You're on the internet. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Through Skype, you could be 70, and I wouldn't know.
But enough about Don.
Nice. I've met Don. I've had dinner with Don, and Don's not 70. I was actually thinking about a new segment, and I was going to email Don about this. And I was curious what his thoughts are. I think he may be moving back to North Carolina. Maybe not the case, but I was thinking about doing a segment called Dinner with Don. He and I would get together like once a month. We would get dinner, chat, then like talk about Transformers and like put that on the podcast. I actually think that could be fun, and it would just be an excuse to hang out with Don.
That sounds like a great idea. Yeah,
I would watch that. So if you like that idea, Don, shoot me an email. So guys, what's going on? Anything cool this week? Any new toys or anything? Rob, you have something?
Yeah, I got several new old toys. Somebody on Twitter found War for Cybertron Megatron at their Walmart for like $9. So since I basically changed my mind since it was out of stock around here, I went ahead and got it. So.
It's not bad.
It's not great, but it's. I just wanted to get more of the Cybertron figures since that's a lot of what I'm really enjoying right now. And now that I have a new deluxe Megatron, they're sure to announce a better one this year. So
yeah,
actually, you can't rule that out. But I did like that War for Cybertron Megs.
It's probably the best War for Cybertron deluxe. That's Soundwave. Soundwave's better.
Yeah, Soundwave is a better figure. It's certainly one of the least from Transformers Megatron. So he and Soundwave together, probably.
He probably wouldn't make a bad Voyager-sized figure.
You know, you're right. He probably would be good at that size. So. Yeah,
he's a great robot.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It really is.
He turns into nothing, but he's a great robot.
So he's Cybertronian.
Yes.
He turns into a box with a gun, but yeah, it's a cool robot.
Mm-hmm. For my money, the best one from the War for Cybertron or Fall or Cybertron group is still Starscream here.
Yeah,
nice. I just got it. Just got it this week. Thank you for reminding me. I did buy something this week. He is nice. I love his weapon with the little dual rotary cannons. That's pretty freaking awesome.
Scrap Maker, I think that's the in-game name.
I have the game, but it's still shrink-wrapped. It's awesome.
Play it.
It's awesome.
Play it. It's a great game.
I would play it. I just don't have time. So,
you have 2 days off tomorrow this week, so now you know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's enough to finish it, I think.
I need to finish War for Cybertron. 100%
completion.
I finished campaign in a couple of days, so had to for the review. So.
I might do that. Okay, that's a good idea. But yeah, let's see here. This week we have news, like always. We have the newest episode of Transformers Rewind, which is Beast Machines Revelations Part 3. We have a new review from Amy and Nicole. It's an episode of Transformers Prime, and I don't quite remember which one it was. I'm a terrible person. We also have... I think that's it. Actually, there are a couple of news items, but that I wanted to mention, but that's another 2 weeks away. Gosh, this is a five Wednesday month. Mm-hmm. It's going to be two more weeks before we can get to the third-party news, and there's so many things I want to mention.
Well, there'll be a lot more by then, probably.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so last month wasn't a whole lot, but this month is pretty rich in third-party news. Let's go ahead and jump to the news items that we do have. So it looks like there may be a new Optimus Prime Generations, possibly. At least we got something of a design for one. So basically, he's like a Target Master, and Roller is his gun.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty cool.
People are saying it's IDW influenced. Is there any truth to that at all?
I don't remember seeing this specific Prime design in the comics, but I only started reading the comics within this last year or so, so I may have missed it as it went by. But yeah, I can't speak to that. But considering that they went to the trouble of doing the Target Master Roller, I'd say that's got to be based on a toy.
I would have to think so.
Yeah.
I guess probably deluxe size, if I had to guess. But otherwise, the Mini-Con would probably... I mean, I'm assuming it's like a Mini-Con size toy.
Yeah.
Probably has to be a deluxe, but it looks really nice.
Is it like one of the 40 Hasbro promised us or something?
I'm thinking.
That's the speculation. Toy Fair's going to be interesting, I think. It's. I'm hoping it'll be less disappointing than last year, because last year was, just for whatever reason, you know, we got... I believe we got a little bit of news about the Generations then, but not a lot of, like, images. And maybe we can do a little bit better this year.
Yeah.
We can only hope. Unfortunately, hope is usually a mistake.
That's true. But, let's see here.
And it looks nice and all, but still, it's another Optimus. We've got tons of those.
Yeah, but how many Optimus do we have that we like?
4 or 5 on my shelves.
Fair number, but I'm always open for another one, especially if it actually came with a new roller.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, the last Optimus Prime we got that I liked also came with a new roller.
That would be the masterpiece?
Yeah, I can actually count.
Well, how many Optimus Primes actually come with roller now?
Two?
Yes.
Three if this one turns out to exist.
Yeah. But I'm not a big fan of Optimus Prime, and I can count like the number of Optimus Prime figures that I have that I really like on one hand. And if this one comes out and I like it, that'll be great. I'm really disappointed though that the G2 Laser Prime figure that came out recently sucks so bad, because that one had potential, but alas, maybe it'll make a better Scourge.
Maybe. Here's hoping.
It's made by the club. I doubt it.
Nah.
I kind of want to go back and get that Ultimate Gift set just because I kind of like it in the unused Combat Hero colors. But yeah. And plus there's a Jazz in that set, and you can't really go wrong with that.
Oh, I was thinking of the set that came out with Classics, the one that had the G2 Megatron and Optimus. What was that called?
Ultimate Battle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they reissued that for years and years. You can still turn that up at...
some Big Lots.
Some Big Lots, some Ross and Marshalls sometimes.
I haven't seen one recently.
Yeah, but if you see them at the Ross and Marshalls price, it's definitely worth it, like $13.
So, Omega Supreme and Year of the Snake Optimus Prime had showed up recently on Big Bad Toy Store, but they are now available on Amazon for pre-order. It's such a beautiful figure. I want
that,
it.
That Omega Supreme is great. I know I'm not going to get it, but it's... I have a category, basically, I'm never going to get this, but I'm glad it exists, and that Omega Supreme is squarely in there.
Yeah, I want it.
I admit the paint looks nice and all, but come on, polished crap, it's still crap.
It's not a bad figure. It's not a bad figure at all.
Yeah,
it's flawed.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, but I got the Omega Sentinel, and to be honest, I think it works a lot better with the unified color scheme than it did in the Energon Omega Supreme colors. So I think this version might work a lot better too, because it doesn't look like two halves of unrelated things stuck together.
Yeah, that is one concern with that original toy. I had a Mega Sentinel, but I sold it on eBay. I forgot. Oh, because I got a lot of money for it. That's why I sold it.
Those things are still worth a ton, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, sadly, since I was the only non-smoker in my house for years, it's hard to sell any of my stuff because it all smells.
Uh-huh. Yeah, growing up, everyone in my family was a smoker too, which didn't really devalue my toys. What devalued them was the fact that I took baths with them. That's really what devalued my toys.
Yeah, that'll do it. I was very difficult on toys too in general. I broke them, and every so often I'd take one like Rodimus Prime and go, oh, I wonder how that's put together, and take a screwdriver to it and never get it back together quite right.
Yeah, I would do that with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or my aunt did that once with a Rubik's Cube. I've never forgiven her. Not once.
Did she solve it?
Well, she thought that she could solve it by taking it apart and putting it back together, which would have been pretty smart, but unfortunately she wasn't, so it just did not work out.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see here. I think that I have up all of the items here that Paladin wanted to talk about, except for smoke screen. I don't have the smoke screen up yet. But we've got quite a few new shots over the last couple weeks from the Beast Hunters line, and, you know, they look better than I originally gave them credit for. I think they're actually doing a pretty good job. Nothing that I absolutely am in love with yet, but right now, let's see here. Let's put up, this is Smokescreen. Smokescreen is, the first one I've got is Hardshell. And that's an interesting looking figure. So he transforms into, what is it, a bug?
Yes. He's one of the last show characters who didn't have a toy yet, so yeah, this is definitely good to see.
Yeah. It's a Cyberverse Commander, incidentally, so.
I'm still holding out for a bigger one, but yeah, this is a nice trend.
I have a fair amount of Cyberverse stuff, so if this is all we get, I'll be pleased, but I wouldn't mind a larger one either.
Let's see here. I'm still trying to get that one. Let's see here. So yeah, it doesn't look bad. Now, I want to love Predaking, but it just something about it just doesn't really jive. I don't know. What do you guys think?
It could just be the limitations of the Voyager mold at present, because when they first showed this off, they showed off the larger one, the Weaponizer or whatever. Maybe that'll be the better of the Predakings.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a Weaponizer for that.
Well, compare the latest gallery of the Predaking figure to the first one they showed off. It doesn't quite match up, because the other one is clearly bigger.
Okay.
I like the colors. I like the overall shape, the overall form, but just at the finer details of it, just something again, I don't know. It's just... let's see here. Here's a better shot of it. I love robots with wings, especially in Transformers. It's just a nice design aesthetic.
The versatile wings are definitely a plus, and the triple heads reminds me of Cybertron Scourge, and I was a big fan of him.
Hmm.
This is a good shot here, too. I don't know. Maybe I'm warming up to it a little bit. It could be worse. This is a really nice angle of it, actually. Actually, I think I want it now. That one shot did it. Yeah, I'm getting it. I hopefully I'll like it better than Thundertron. But if I can get it for $12, I'll like it at least a little bit.
Yeah, Thundertron is not perfect, but it definitely has its charm.
Yeah, I'd agree to that.
Now, one
and this
toy...
looks better than Thundertron to me.
Yeah. One toy that actually surprised me a little bit is the Voyager-class Beast Hunters Optimus Prime. It actually looks pretty decent.
It does. It looks really good, in fact.
I know. I'm very impressed with that.
Yeah. XV says it's pretty much what he expected from the first shot, so, you know, kudos to him for being able to...
But does he mean that in a good way or a bad way?
Oh, he means it in a good way. He actually means it in a good way. This is one he does not hate. So,
impossible.
But yeah, now that we've gotten some better shots of it, I really like this. I do like jetpacks. I'm happy it comes with Star Saber. And if you've seen some of the comparison shots with the Robots in Disguise Prime, it's significantly taller and bulkier. So, you know, I'm really hoping. The more I'm seeing, the more I'm hoping that the shrink is over with and we're going to get back to Transformers of a size we're more accustomed to.
Darn, you
the size is definitely impressive. He looks fairly articulate, too, which is a good plus.
Yeah,
and it just looks really nice.
Darn.
So later on in the line, who do you think they could repaint this into? Sentinel Prime? Nova Prime? Jinrai?
I saw somebody do a Photoshop of Ultra Magnus, and I think that could actually work.
I've already kind of got an Ultra Magnus, though, but yeah, I guess I could see that.
Yeah, and we've got isn't there a Beast Hunter's Weaponizer Ultra Magnus scheduled for somewhere down the line?
I think
yes.
So. Yeah.
And possibly,
yeah, so.
They haven't sorted that listing out yet.
Yeah, so, it may not be this mold. I think it could work as this mold, especially if, as Hasbro has done so much lately, they did a slightly different torso for it. But, yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, me too. Hasbro is really... I think I'm going to buy more Prime toys in 2013 than I did in 2012. In 2012, I think I bought four.
Mm-hmm.
The entire year.
Oh, man, what did I buy that was above the... Or what did I end up with that was above Cyberverse scale? Couple Deluxes, couple Voyagers, that's all.
I mean, it's not like it was a new toy, but it was new to me. I got first edition Viacon, Thundertron. Now I guess I got the others in 2011, so I got two.
I got some stuff. I've got Ironhide from the Takara line, just because I like him better than Cup.
Mm. Oh yeah, I got Cup. I did get Cup.
See, I wish I would have got that because I really wanted the Arms Micron for it. But I got the Cup, and it's okay.
It's okay. It's not bad.
Yeah.
When I got the Deluxe Rumble that's in the same wave as Cup, and that's pretty awesome.
The first time I saw Rumble, he was at Kmart, so he was like $18 or $19, so I skipped him. And I saw him one more time, and I'm like, I kind of want it, but not really.
Yeah, I've heard of it showing up at Ross and Marshall's and those things, and I've been hoping to find one there, but I don't really see myself doing it at full price. Have you guys seen the Arms Micron Rumble and Frenzy from this mold, though?
No.
They're using the alternate head for the mold and a lot more paint on the torso, and it looks so much better.
No, I think it's off Frenzy. Yeah, I think we actually talked about Frenzy a couple weeks ago. I think.
Yes.
Everything's
Frenzy. First time in how long since they've done Rumble and Frenzy in the same line?
United, I guess. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That hardly counts. No, I'm kidding. I'm just still bitter over that one.
Yeah, me too, actually. I was hoping to get the Revealed Shield one, and then,
Yeah.
It evaporated.
Yeah. One more. So we have a Deluxe Smokescreen as well, and it looks pretty good.
It does.
Woo-hoo, you don't have to import the awful repaint of the awful mold.
Mm-hmm. And moreover, it actually has removable armor. All the spiky Beast Hunter-y bits are optional.
It's already the best feature in any of the deluxes so far.
Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for removable armor anyway, so that I'm going to end up with that one, definitely.
Yeah.
And second best feature, it's actually two to a case. The deluxe cases for Beast Hunters are actually evenly packed.
Wow.
Nice.
Crazy.
And in Wave 2, there are no bumblebees.
All right.
I'm sorry, I heard you wrong.
Actually.
What is a case without a bumblebee?
Happiness.
Yeah.
I thought it was required now, like from Hasbro, every case must include some form of bumblebee repaint or otherwise.
Pumps him back into the case.
Yeah.
We'll just name one of them Bumblebee. So he's an honorary Bumblebee.
Amy just said there's always room for Bumblebee. He's like Jell-O.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's the case. Let's just take the massive mountain of unsold Speed Stars Bumblebees that must be out there and just chuck one in every box and be done with it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's see here. Hey, I wanted to remind everyone, freaking leave us a review on iTunes.
That'd be cool, thanks.
It's like the cheapest, freest, easiest way you can help us out. I was thinking, well, how can people help us out? I'm like, oh, you could leave us a review on iTunes. No, seriously.
Send us money, but if you don't want to send us money, at least leave a review on iTunes.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would help us out a lot.
In lieu of money. leave a review.
This is true. I'm reading the chat next via saying, nah, we don't need iTunes reviews. Don't worry about it. Don't listen to XP.
Of course.
He's not on the show.
Thanks, XP.
Diecast did.
Don't worry. Soon his cow will die.
Yes. Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump to the newest episode of Transformers Rewind. This week, we talk about Revelations Part 3.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers
Rewind.
This week on Transformers Rewind, it's Revelations Part 3, Apocalypse. Following that from the last episode, Nightscream and Black Arachnia face Jetstorm. As Thrust watches on, Jetstorm extracts Black Arachnia's spark.
How could you let this happen to us, Boss Monkey?
You failed us, Optimus. Just like you failed Cybertron.
How can I stop this? Tell me!
I don't know.
Valiantly, Nightscream faces both Jetstorm and Thrust.
I'm sure it won't be pleasant.
Going somewhere, tailpipe?
Just looking for something worth fragging.
Me too. Guess we both got lucky.
Once retrieved, Black Arachnia's body is reunited with her spark.
Come on, you...
Megatron has started a war between the organic and the technological, but we can't overcome the destructive force of his rampant technology.
Don't you see, Optimus?
By means of deduction, as well as Optimus Primal's wacky psychic powers, the Maximals discover that Tankor is, in fact, the long-lost Maximal Rhinox. But evil.
No!
Easy, Rhinox. We just want to help you.
When pleading proves to be fruitless, the Maximals resort to brainwashing.
Rhinox? It is you! But how-
Ever since Megatron abducted my spark and changed me, I've been conscious inside Tankor. I couldn't reach the surface, couldn't communicate, but the whole time I was watching, learning.
We've recovered you, and together we can finally defeat Megatron.
Defeat him? Open your eyes like mine finally are. Megatron is the only hope this planet has of achieving technological perfection.
Maximals, stand down.
Optimus Primal will have nothing of it, however.
His choice.
Goodbye, Optimus. When we meet again, it will not be as allies.
Optimus Primal shares the secret that he learned
Earth
through the Matrix.
Were not bought in vain. The Matrix sent us there to bring back the organic elements we now carry in our bodies.
The Matrix means for us to restore nature to Cybertron.
I'll be honest. I actually sat down and watched Revelations Part 1, 2, and 3. But I think most of what we really need to know happens in Part 3. Because Rhinox is still around and he's an ass. That's pretty much what this whole three-parter says to me, is that Rhinox is an ass, and he's back. And he's an ass.
Well, I think he's very similar to the way that we see him in...
He's an ass.
That dark... Megatron...
Dark Designs, yes.
Dark Designs, yeah. I mean, I think he's very similar to himself in that respect. And I think, you know, there's... I don't know, I can't remember the resolution on this, whether or not they decided, like, oh, I didn't mean to be really bad, I was just sort of bad.
He died, and that was sort of it.
Yeah, he was unrepentant.
No, well, he wasn't... he died and went to the... I think he died, and then just before, you know, when he died, it was in the first episode of Season 2, he went off to the Matrix and said that, you know, he'd paid for his sins by dying, and that was about it. I mean, internal to the show, they never really say... if this is Rhinox making his own choice or not. Well, I mean, I believe Bob Skuhr opined that Rhinox was, like, he made his own choice freely. You know, if so, that's awful.
yes! It is.
There are visuals in the show where you see Tankor and Rhinox, not in this episode, but in later episodes, where you see Tankor and Rhinox on opposite sides of one spark struggling in pain that seems to suggest that, you know, Tankor's shell program around Rhinox, that it's something... And frankly, I have to believe that. Now, I actually really like Beast Machines. I'm not a Beast Machines hater in the slightest. I really actually like Beast Machines. Beast Machines was... I was able to see all the way through in order, thanks to Irish television. First Transformers show I was actually able to videotape all of. I've actually probably watched Beast Machines all the way through more times than I've watched any other Transformers series all the way through. Because I had it all and I could watch it. And I really do like Beast Machines, but I do have to believe that one thing in order to get through it.
So
yeah, I mean, there's so much of that character that's established, and it is so similar to, like we said, like the previous, that it just kind of makes sense. You know,
that is one of the things about Beast Machines, is that it... had its story and its character roles that are required for that story to move the way it does. Yeah. And it really does take the Beast Wars cast and sort of slam them sideways into the roles that the story requires. Some of them work. Cheetor works. Optimus Primal is a big transformation, but you do actually see the character go through the process of becoming a zealot and finding religion, essentially. You see it happen.
Yeah.
And alternately, Rat Trap just sort of happens, you know. Megatron, there's never any explanation for why he gets his hatred of organics. I always like to believe that he fell on his head when he landed on Cybertron, and that was the answer. And Rhinox is just another one of those things where it's like the plot called for a former ally of the character to change sides in a non-redeemable personal way, and Rhinox was just ganked in to fit the bill, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the changes I really like. I like what Optimus goes through. I love Silverbolt in Season 2. I love the fact that his honor is turned against him and becomes this thing that this weight on him instead of this. I mean, I really hated Silverbolt in Season 3 of Beast Wars. He was this goofy cartoon of a character far beyond what he was in Season 2. And I really love what they did with him in Beast Machines. And I know that's not a popular opinion, but I really do.
No, I completely agree. I think it made a character that was sort of two-dimensional very three-dimensional and very realistic. So, no, I think you know, and some of the things, like, for this episode, you know, and a lot of it focuses around that revelation of Rhinox, but there's the other part of it, which, again, is that sort of, you know, spiritual bit with Black Rhino, and, of course, when she still thinks that...
Thrust.
Just all the weird stuff with Thrust that never... That was, you know, a bait and switch that never really worked out. You know, it was such an odd thing that never...
It's like they were just being so obvious about it that you thought it had to be somebody else. But
yeah.
You think it was going to be Waspinator.
No. No. Even though the evidence was there. But,
that's the thing about Beast Machines for me as well, is that it was the first Transformers show that I was actually able to follow... as it aired in America. Now, I don't remember what website it was, and I was on dial-up internet at the time, but I was able to watch Beast Machines episodes week on week as they were aired. And we're talking, like, little RM files that big.
Oh, yeah.
But I watched it, and I did see the whole series as it aired in America. And that never happened again until Animated. Like, in between then, from R.I.D. through the entire Unicron trilogy, never happened. So, for that reason alone, like, I have this... I admit, like, some of it's just having a soft spot for it being the first series I was able to watch while I was part of the online fandom as well, that I have this big soft spot for. I'm not blind to its flaws, but, you know, in this episode is like, you know, we find out the truth about Rhinox. Optimus Primal and Black Arachnia do some spiritual stuff. And Cheetor and Rattrap stand on top of a bridge for 15 minutes.
Yeah, that does happen. Yes.
Yeah, I you mentioned Thrust, and I love Thrust so much in this series. He's far and away the best character for me personally, at least the new character for the series. It's not this episode. It's was it a later episode? I used to mention this all the time. When Thrust flipped off Primal. God, best thing ever!
Yeah. But it's like, he's only got three fingers, so he just goes...
Yeah, yeah.
Just sort of flicks his arm at him, but it's great.
Yeah.
So, in this episode, Cheetor's resolution to the Rhinox's evil problem is, brainwash him! Brainwash him! Do it! Do it!
Make him like us again!
Cheetor...
Yeah, and Primal's like, well, no, you know, he's made his choice.
The idea that a good character could legitimately disagree with the...
ideology?
What's the word I'm looking for here? With the, not the out, the outlook, the mission statement, the
philosophy?
Goal, the ideology of their leader, and she decides... Fascinating. We've never had it in a Transformers cartoon before, like, really straight up properly. I think we got it out of Armada Starscream, essentially. It's probably about the only other time it really, really happened. Unfortunately, they picked the one Maximal above anyone else in the entire cast who was least likely to do that out of the previous 52 episodes of character establishment.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, but Rhinox didn't have a toy, so...
Well...
You know... They had a rat toy, and they had a cheetah. They had several cheetah toys, remember? They're very large. Some.
I remember his face being on all the packages.
But, you know, yeah, you should love him. But, I don't know. I love that Cheetor bit where even Rat Trap is like, I don't know. That's not a very cool thing. No, Cheetor's like, do it! I'm like, wow, that
was...
Yeah,
when Rat Trap gets to be your moral compass.
Yeah, that's...
the thing I don't like about this episode, or maybe this part of Beast Machines in general, is Black Arachnia is so... Not really Black Arachnia in the sense that she's just emotionally attached to Silverbolt. Certainly she loved Silverbolt. She had that connection. But she was just, in a way, like, neutered because she is just, like, completely frozen because she doesn't know how to react because she thinks Thrust is Silverbolt. And that just really stuck out in this episode.
She went from being an interesting character because of... You know, her allegiances and her alliances and those kinds of things to just being a broken lover.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she wasn't just that. No. But she is easily... Oh, she. It's like she, along with Rattrap, are like the two big characters of the main Maximal cast who suffer in their...
Yeah.
They're being forced. I mean, you've got your religious, zealot, pacifistic leader. Your hot-tempered, young second-in-command who doesn't... You know, who questions his leader's judgment. You got your cowardly tech support, you got your dark action girl with a secret love that she keeps inside, and you got the kid. And, like, those are the five characters, and, like, they took the Beast Wars cast, and then they went, get in there!
You do that!
Yeah.
You be that, and you be that, and it doesn't, you know, that's the big problem out of the gate with Beast Machines. Yeah. I don't deny that as much as I love the series.
So going
Black Arachnia and Rattrap are the two that really suffer, and that is on display in this episode as well.
So watching this originally when it first aired, it seemed to me, because the first five or six episodes were so, to me at the time, boring, that it took forever to get to this point. Going back and, like, Revelations Part 3 is like episode 8 or 9 of the series.
Yeah,
in my mind,
way though, when you think about it.
But it seems like it happened much later. All of these revelations happened much later in the series, but they really didn't.
That's because it took forever for this series to air. I seem to recall that the airing schedule of this was like, we got the first 6 episodes, and then it was like there was a break or something. It took forever to get to this point. Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly.
I mean, remember that once you had this, we only had 4 more episodes, and then it went on break in America for like a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you're looking at those 13 in isolation, which you had to do for, like, a year. Although, if I remember right, Canada just barreled straight into season 2.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I think even Bob Skurr himself says, in retrospect, they probably shouldn't have waited as long as they did to finally answer all the questions. Because those first 7 episodes of Beast Machines, as much as people, you know, joke about Beast Machines or whatever, they are, like, 75% running away by volume.
Yes, absolutely they are. Rob,
because the Maximals don't have anything to move towards. You know, when I watched this one last night, I'd forgotten that it took until this point for Optimus Primal to believe that their goal was to bring, you know, to make Cybertron organic again. I'd forgotten that. Because, I mean, it turns out at the start of Season 2 that he was wrong, and what the Oracle wanted was a balance between the two. But I'd legitimately forgotten that it took until this point in the story for him to realize that that's what their goal was supposed to be. So they literally were just running around, blowing up Viacons, and running away from them for, like, 7 episodes.
Very literally spending that many episodes looking for a direction. You should never really let that show on screen.
I mean, it's not like it was... It's not like it was really meandering in the sense like the first quarter of any of the Unicron trilogy shows could be described as being meandering. You know, you can say each episode is the one in which, you know, the one in which the first one, the one in which everybody transforms and the vehicles get introduced, the one in which Night Scream gets introduced, the Rat Trap episode that nobody likes to talk about, you know.
Would that be the Rat Trap episode where he looks after Megatron for a night?
That,
to my mind, is one of the finest bits of Transformers fiction I've ever seen.
Internal to itself, it is a very solid 22 minutes, but with regard to any and all previous characterization of the characters, it's a fucking...
You don't watch Beast Machines thinking to yourself, right, I wonder how this ties into Beast Wars. You watch Beast Machines thinking to yourself, how does it tie into its own internal series?
One does have to divorce the two to properly... But that was the single... Next to Rhinox, and because there's kind of an out to explain it away for Rhinox, it probably does... ranks in several marks above it. It really is the single worst instance of Beast Machines just dumping on the original Beast Wars characterization.
Yeah.
I've always thought about it this way. You look at Beast Machines towards Beast Wars as you look at Beast Wars towards Generation 1. It takes elements but doesn't take a complete overview. It doesn't sit there and go, and here is the entirety of the Marvel G1 comics. Rip, tear, take, smash, smash, smush. It just takes elements that it likes and makes it an internal narrative.
Yeah,
that's true. That's presented as a show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's presented as a direct sequel written and drawn by the same people. You know, not written, well, not story edited. I'm pretty sure some of the individual scripts must be.
Very, very few of the same people worked on it. It wasn't many at all. The other thing I always loved about Beast Machines is it looks like it's an N64 game.
Oh, it looks better than that.
No, I don't mean for the graphical experience that they have. You know, it doesn't look like it's someone's playing an N64 game, but the way the textures work, the way that everything's built, it uses the same kind of style that a lot of N64 and Dreamcast games use. That is one of the reasons I will fight anyone who disses on Beast Machines.
Bouncing straight from Optimal Situation to this one back-to-back last night, I was reminded just how much I do love the feel of Beast Machines. I don't know exactly. I couldn't describe it to you, but things in Beast Machines look like they would feel different if you touched them to the way things look in Beast Wars.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Include the fire. It would feel like cotton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that last night. I think one of the things that really helps Beast Machines stand up, and it looks to me significantly less dated than Beast Wars,
is the fact
that we are not doing a direct one-to-one attempt to make anything real. You know, that we are not doing a We are not doing a 1996 CG cheetah. We are doing a partially mechanical cheetah, and that really helps. And
you
know, the later models in Beast Wars had that advantage too. But I think it's even more pronounced here.
Yeah, it's because the stylization internal to the show itself works so well to help it stand by itself. As you say, the Beast Wars was, this is a Velociraptor. Look at it. It's 1996. We're mainframe. We're the best there is out there. But when they got this one, you had a whole new group of art directors and designers and conceptual artists come on board, and they gave it a real style to itself, which I think stands up more than...
And stuff,
in all honesty, pretty much any other series that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I love the look of Beast Machines.
And technology progressed, too. We can't, technology jumps tremendously from year to year. At least it did then. It's sort of slowed down a little bit. But the difference between 1995 and 1996 technology to 1999-2000 technology, as far as rendering goes, is huge.
It's like we were talking about optimal situation in the previous installment, and something that is like, that is kind of the best Beast Wars ever really looked.
Yes.
But the water still looked like ass.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
To defeat the evil Decepticons, Nebulons team up with Autobots to become Power Master.
That unlocks their transformer energy.
We're ready to attack! Oh no, the Decepticons have Power Masters too! Transform Optimus Prime!
Power Master Transformers! They've got the power to survive!
Look, Optimus is becoming a Super Power Master!
Who will win? Find out in Marvel Comics.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Walmart has the latest toys kids want at low prices parents love. Hasbro's Transformer Autobot cars have more to them than meets the eye. With a few minor adjustments, these cars turn into warrior robots. Each comes with weapons, decoder, and so much more. Choose from 11 different models. And now through Tuesday, Hasbro's Autobots are just $7.38 each. Shop the Walmart way, a savings tradition for the holidays and every day.
It's a better day when you save the Walmart way.
Fleeing the wars that devastated their home planet of Cybertron, most of the Autobots made Earth their temporary home. Under the leadership of the powerful robot Optimus Prime, the heroic Autobots battled fearlessly against the assaults of the evil Decepticons, protecting their new human friends. Now it is the year 2006, and the Autobots have reclaimed the planet of their origin, Cybertron, to establish a new golden age. In migrating from Earth, they have been reunited with companions from other regions of the galaxy, including Skylynx, the gigantic space shuttle, Blur, the fastest car on wheels, Cup, the flinty old warrior, Wheelie, who always offers advice in rhymes, Springer, the mighty helicopter, Arcee, a forceful female Autobot, and Wreck-Gar, the leader of a tribe of Autobots that dwells on the planet Junkion. The Autobots have a new leader, Rodimus Prime, who inherited from Optimus Prime the Autobot Matrix of Leadership. As a receptacle of the wisdom of Autobot leaders for the past millions of years, the Matrix helps Rodimus guide the Autobots in their darkest hours as they fight to end the tyranny of the evil Decepticons.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
Welcome to our first episode review of Transformers Prime Retro Reviews. I am Amy.
I am Nick.
And
hello.
Today we are introducing Transformers Prime, the animated cartoon, which we, the two of us, woohoo, will review, a fangirl's perspective. Or as my husband just pointed out, the Hans and Franz of the Transformers. We're here to pump you up. Oh, sorry. Okay, so the show, it broadcasted its first episode a little over 2 years ago, November 2012, right after Thanksgiving Day weekend in the USA on The Hub, Hasbro's very own channel. Season one.
Channel, if you get it, I love it.
Yes, yes, they've got lots of stuff other than just Transformers, so, you know. There you go. Season one is now available from Shout Factory or Amazon, and it looks like this for anyone who's watching the video. It's got a cardstock slip cover, four discs, and it's in widescreen, which is awesome because a lot of them have been in
full... I have it in Blu-ray or DVD.
Yes, you can also get it in Blu-ray or DVD too. The one I've got is DVD because I haven't gotten up with the times yet.
You know what? The reason why I got a Blu-ray player was for Transformers Prime. Nice. I actually had Transformers Prime Blu-ray before I had a Blu-ray player.
Cool.
Yeah, because it's so pretty in high def, I tell you. So.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I definitely want to have that 720 DPI or bigger to watch this. Yeah. And you're going to want to have the widescreen because they just do a really good job on this. So, as the evening of this recording, we await the announcement of when the third season will be announced. Rumor has it rumor has it that it may be sometime this spring. So we're all crossing our fingers and hoping that it comes out soon. So soon as we know, we'll let you know either online, probably, at least for me, probably via Twitter, which you can follow me at Lady of Wreck. And how about you, Nicole?
Oh, I'm at Beatles Eva. Beatles like the band, not the bug. There you go.
Awesome. Yeah. Or you can also...
Like picture behind me.
Yes. Beatles Diva. Woo.
Beatles.
Or you can also find it on T-Formers or the main Radio Free Cybertron network.
There you go.
So that being said, we shall review away. First episode was called Darkness Rising, and it was split into five parts. And today we're only going to review part one. So we start our series with Cliffjumper and RC. They're driving along, having a conversation a distance away from one another. But it's interrupted by a signal, an Energon signal. As he finds out what it is, it's actually an Energon growing out of the ground. And it's been claimed by Decepticons. So there's a nice little battle that ensues. As a bunch of...
One against many.
Yes, yes. As a bunch of Viacons corner him. So he calls for backup because he realizes he's a little outnumbered. So while he engages the Decepticons, RC calls in the guns. So while they are gathering, because they're in several different places, the cons overwhelm Cliffjumper. Oh, news!
Who's played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Exactly. Yes. So he sounds fantastic. Although he does a great job holding his own, for a time, they eventually do take him in. Well, the Energon exploding behind him didn't help.
Yeah, that's a powerful stuff, that Energon, you know?
Yes, and, you know, you shoot at it enough, it does explode. Mm-hmm. Which we find often happens in Transformers Prime. So they take him to Starscream, who dispatches him when he asks where the real boss is. What? In the first 5-10 minutes of the show, somebody's killed. What?
I know, that was crazy.
The fan rage. It's my favorite character.
I was so surprised that they actually killed him like that. I mean, because everyone knows that Starscream has multiple personalities, that, you know, he's the coward, he's the honorary one, he's the leader, you know, but to actually see him take someone's life within the first 5 minutes, that set the tone, it set the bar, actually, to what the, what the series is going to be. You're like, oh, this Starscream means business.
He does, and he's got the creepy fingers.
He's got those long, spindly fingers.
The long, spindly, you know, snaky, or not snaky, a spider-like, you know, fingers. Apparently are like scissors because they're very sharp.
Very sharp.
Yeah.
And Steve Bloom, awesome voice acting.
Yes, he does a fantastic job. Yeah. Love it. So yeah, they establish quite quickly that Transformers in this universe can be killed, and they aren't afraid to use it.
Exactly.
So the bots find Cliff's last known location. But when they get there, he's not there. And Ratchet looks for his location on his little thing on his arm, going, oh, okay, let's see if we can find him somewhere else. but that's when his signal is extinguished.
I know.
And they're all like, nah! So back at the Autobase, as I'd like to call it, is the Autobase.
Okay, that's cool.
They mourn Cliffjumper, and RC takes it the hardest because they were kind of partners, which is a story that was told in the Transformers Prime comic that came out just like a month or two just before the show actually was out. So that was kind of fantastic to be able to see.
I kind of liked that. I kind of liked that because I really enjoyed the comic. I don't think it got enough credit like it should have.
Yeah. So. Well, it's starting to get more credit now, and we'll get to that in further reviews and episodes. So lots of good things to talk about. So then we flip gears and introduce Jack Darby, teenager, works at a burger joint, goes to school, appreciates awesome machinery like this sexy looking motorcycle that happens to be sitting in the parkway.
Your average teenage boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As he didn't see this, you know, motorcycle park itself, he's just admiring the awesomeness that is this motorcycle in, you know, where he works. And of course, this motorcycle is RC. And it's not long until the cons that were looking for her, they find her. And what do you know? Jack was sitting on the seat admiring the ride when she has to jet.
My only problem is, you don't sit on anyone's motorcycle. I don't care.
Yes, it's like, you know, you never touch another man's motorcycle or tools, or you're sitting on somebody else's motorcycle? What?
Yeah, just watch Sons of Anarchy. You learn.
That's a very good point. You never touch another person's motorcycle. It will only end in tears.
Exactly.
So he's stuck on the seat. She's driving away. He's like, what's going on? So while she finds a nice place, a nice safe place to drop him off, the cons have made them both. They also see that there's this human with her. So she ends up having to save his hide a second time because she leaves him behind, and then they go after him. So they're like, this must be somebody that we need to go after too. So. While they are speeding away, RC and Jack, trying to get away from the two cons on the highway, Bumblebee meets up to help out. And they eventually drive off an embankment, and that's where they run into a second human. The second human of our story, Raphael. When the cons show up, they both get a nice little show, transforming fighting robots RC and Bumblebee style. So
I was so jealous of these two. I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's like Rock and Sucking Rope live.
Yep. It was pretty cool. They're like, this is wow. They're just kind of standing there going, whoa.
I did the same thing. Like, should I run or should I watch?
Yeah, they're robots that transforms into cars, or they're cars that transform into robots.
Who knows?
It's either one or the other, but it could be both. Yeah, there you go. So eventually the human kids flee the scene before they become a part of the crunched part of the fighting. The next day, though, the bots show up after school, and the kids are encouraged to join them because they can be perceived as allies to the cons. And Optimus Prime has requested their presence, so they take them to the Autobot base. Oh, and that's when Miko happens to be the nosy girl that peeks around the corner, so she ends up having to come along, too.
Everyone's favorite Miko.
Yes, which spurs the favorite line. Oh, don't you know, humans multiply?
Oh, my gosh. There are some great one-liners in here.
There are some fantastic one-liners. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. So, and they have their introductions to Team Prime. Optimus Prime, Ratchet, RC, Bulkhead, and Bumblebee. We get their title and their reasons for leaving their home planet of Cybertron and how things were devastated and the difference between Autobots and Decepticons. And Megatron is name dropped, of course, and so they talk a little bit about him too. Meanwhile, the Autobots might be getting cozy with the human kids, but the Decepticons have found a signal originating from deep space. And when they open the space bridge to the signal, Megatron returns.
No!
As
poor Starscream, he's just like, oh, yeah.
I mean, they were saying earlier in the episode that he was gone and that they weren't sure when he was going to come back. And if he does, it'll be bad news. And yeah, what do you know? The end of the episode is Megatron returning.
Exactly. Yep. And Frank Welker hit it on the nose again once. I remember watching this episode when it first premiered, and I was just like, that was my biggest worry, because they didn't hire Frank Welker for the movies because they were saying he couldn't do the voice and everything. So I was worried when he came on Prime that he had just that one line, and he was just like, ah, he nailed it. I loved it.
He did. I mean, because you're right, you're right. I mean, if you think back, if I think back, that was everybody's concern, because we'd heard how Peter Cullen was doing Optimus Prime, and so we're like, oh, okay, well, we expect that. No one expected Megatron to come back and sound so much more like awesome than he did back in G1. Mm-hmm. I think everybody was like, oh, if he sounds just like that. Some people were saying, oh, it'll be fine. But, you know, they were hoping for something a little bit more. And he brought it, man. He totally brought it. If I remember, he was like our favorite at, you know, we reviewed the whole year over on Moonbase 2. That was the voice actor that we were most impressed with, because we had something to compare to. And so to hear how much he's evolved the voice just with age, it's like, man, it's like fine wine with him. He just got better.
Oh, awesome. It was beautiful.
Yes.
Hit it again.
Frank for the win. So before we wrap up, let's talk some of the other elements of the series. So how about the animation art? What did you think about that?
Okay, I love it. I liked how the robots looked. I liked the designs of the kids. I remember a lot of people were complaining about the background. It's like, there's nothing in the background. It's just so plain. I'm like, well, if you've ever been to Nevada, they've nailed it. They've nailed the background of Nevada pretty well. So I could see what they needed, some more people in the town, maybe some few cars on the roads. But as of the scenery of Jasper, Nevada, it's spot on. Like I said, if you've ever been to Nevada, you know they've got it. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed the animation. I thought it was great. Besides, you know, a little bit more human characters in background. So, what do you think?
I was just going to mirror the same thing. I was just going to say, driving through lower part of Utah and into Arizona, could have driven out in the middle of nowhere and say, hey, this looks just like Jasper, Nevada. In fact, I took pictures. Actually, what I really liked is the distance and the depth of the environment, because like the desert does look like that. There's not a lot there, but then at the same time, from a distance, it looks so painterly. And the other thing I wanted to kind of point out that I really, really liked about this is that if you've seen it in HD, you like the metal on the Transformers looks like metal.
Beautiful.
Like the highlights, you know, the way that they glow, it just like you can see the textures on the face, like it glows it has the highlights like metal does, but then you can see like the grooves and the little scratches all of the little, it's just like, whoa, it looks like real metal.
One of the things I noticed was like when Starscream's outside in the daylight, they actually have the reflections of the clouds on them.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's a really, really nice touch. That's the only reason why I have to say that for the humans that are, they're squishy, they don't reflect anything, they kind of stand out a little bit because they're so plain. At least for me, it's kind of been like that. And the only other thing that I had that I kind of didn't like was how the hair doesn't move like real hair. That's the only thing I was like, eh. But But that's, I'm niggling. I mean, for the most part, I'm really happy just seeing how much detail that they've put into the Transformers. So,
well, the one thing that they were talking about was, well, this goes with the next episode when Fowler is introduced, mm-hmm. that his tie wasn't moving, like, for the first few episodes. I think they might have retouched it up for the DVD and the Blu-ray, because I noticed it today. I'm like, his tie is moving. So I'm wondering if they, you know, touch some things up for the releases.
That's a good point. Yeah. That'll be interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, cool. How about the designs and the introduction of the characters? What did you think about them?
Okay. When the first came out, just like everything, everyone was complaining, oh, they're too skinny or they're too sharp. And I'm just like, the thing is, I was just like, I kind of like with the RC look. I'm like, finally, a female robot that's not pink.
Yeah, and she can bring it.
Yes. I'm like, I like this RC. I really like this RC. But yeah, I once you see the designs in movement, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Especially Starscream. There's something about his whole character mold that's just spot on. You're just like, that's definitely the Starscream for this series, for sure. They nailed him.
Yeah. So. One thing that impressed me just watching over it again today was that every single one of the characters just seemed to have a fighting style and a movement that was all suited toward them. And so I really liked how they introduced, like, you know, Cliffjumper, even though we only had him for an mm-hmm. episode or two, as we find out more about him next episode. It's just, they did such a good job kind of pulling me in and making me care about the characters. And RC's got this, like, you know, because she takes mm-hmm. Cliff's death, like, really hard. And so she's just kind of, like, you know, mopey and... You know, mm-hmm. she's not, like, overly mopey, like, oh, she's, like, crying. And, like, no, she goes more internal, and she blocks mm-hmm. everybody else out. She's just got this really hard exterior and, you know, so.
She's definitely what I think of a female warrior type, like.
Yeah. If anything.
You gotta stay strong in front of the guys. Yeah. You know, you can't let them see you cry.
If anything, I have to say the other characters, I mean, in the past, like, it's, you know, Optimus Prime and Megatron that stand out. For me, it has not been those guys that have stood out, at least not Optimus Prime. He didn't really stand out until later, but the characters that really did stand out to me were RC and Bulkhead. And we, from here on in, we get a little bit more character development of those two guys. So not so much with Bumblebee, because he doesn't talk. Although he does hold his own, but... Was that?
He had his... one episode, you know, Bumblebee, but
yeah,
Ratchet to me was one. It's just like, oh wow, this Ratchet's really interesting. I like him. So.
There's that too. So, how about the story? What really stuck out to you for this first episode?
This first episode was loaded with everything. You've got the detail why they're here, who they're fighting, why the enemy is here. They have a good story involvement of why the kids are involved. This first episode really amazed me. Unfortunately, they set the bar so high, you know, with this first episode. You compare all the other episodes to it, and sometimes the other episodes kind of lag from it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you had some funny bits, you had some, you know, emotional sadness, you know, with Cliffjumper. You got into this story, and you wanted to be there when the robots were fighting, and you're just like, this is really good. Awesome, awesome first episode. Way to start the season off.
Cool.
Or a new series, sure.
Cool. I pretty much felt the same. It was pretty straightforward. I liked the events leading to Cliff's death. They just sucked you in for the first episode. You're like, oh, no, he died. But they also established...
zombies.
Huh? Well, yeah, that's the next episode, yeah. They established the threats, the risks, and the dangers, and then we just built from that episode. So, yeah, from here on in, it just kind of builds up, and then you're like you said, there are other things that come into play, and, you know, again, they did set the bar pretty high with this one, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but...
No.
There were some episodes that kind of were a little weaker than others because of such a high bar. So, and we'll of course get to those and discuss them. So, yeah, awesome.
Sure.
Well, that pretty much covers this episode of Darkness Rising Part 1. And that is our review. So I also wanted to put out there, just because other fans out around in the internet have reviewed this, and one of them happens to be some friends that we know that have done Transformer Prime full reviews on a podcast called Moonbase 2, which they called Master Prime Theater. So you can check that out at moonbase2.libsyn.com. And we'll see you next week.
Aloha.
Ciao.
Stan Bush here, and I dare you to check out Radio Free Cybertron.
We are back. Thanks, Amy and Nicole. Also, going back to Transformers Rewind, next week is the Transformers animated episode, Blast from the Past. So that'll be fun. Looking forward to that. So if you're watching live, after the show, we are going to have a live Google Plus Hangout. We're actually starting this. We've been talking about it for frickin' ever. We're actually doing it. So Diecast is going to host it for us. If you are not, make sure you've circled us on Google Plus. So we'll do that. And if you don't actually watch the show live, it's a lot of fun. Because we, you know, talk to the chat, we look and see what's going on. They give a lot of feedback to the show. They'll say, Brian, you forgot to do something, or Brian, you forgot to do this, or Brian, you're an idiot.
We can't hear you.
They can tell us when the sound quality craps out.
Yeah.
They complain when they're cut off by the ads.
Yeah, exactly. I love
all the helpful stuff.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's fantastic. So if you don't, we record Wednesdays at about 8:30 Eastern time. So it's pretty, apparently there's nothing else on TV because people actually watch us. I don't really know why, but thank you very much. So Paladin, thank you for being on. So other than superhero time, what do you do?
No, not a whole lot at the moment, to be honest.
So, but aren't you like a mod at Toku Nation? Is it Toku Nation or somewhere?
Yes, indeed. It's just a hangout for Tokusatsu fans, so check that out if you want.
So what's the actual URL?
www.tokunation.com. Whether or not it's up or not, I couldn't tell.
That's a pretty good domain. That's a pretty good domain.
Yeah.
And you're on Twitter?
Yes, on Twitter at Paladin4221, which is how many attempts it took to get a variation of the name.
that's pretty good. Yeah, I was trying to say at Paladin. He's got Paladin, right? Just at Paladin, like is like some Japanese guy. I'm like, oh, wait.
Yes.
Not him. JD, anything cool happened this weekend on Superhero Time? You got, Fanboy Versus, you're on both shows, so I get easily confused. You guys reviewed Superior Spider-Man number one?
Yep, Spider-Man came out, so we've got that review. We gave a suggested name for the new female villain in the new He-Man series, and so you should listen for that. And yeah, that's it was not a heavily packed show, but a good show nonetheless. So. And this week will probably be more of the same.
Awesome.
We're Avenging Spider-Man this week. So.
Is that any good?
The point one I liked well enough, and Chris Yost is writing it. He's been writing Scarlet Spider, which has been excellent, and not enough people are reading it, but that has been excellent. So I'm really looking forward to his Avenging. He's supposed to be doing some really interesting things with it. So it's a great concept for a title. And I think Yost is probably the right person to do it. So I'm really interested to see what he's going to do.
I know very little about Christopher Yost, but the things I have read have been good. So
he's done a lot of like the television Spider-Man fiction. So
I've seen his name. So that's cool.
Yeah. So
Rob, so in an attempt to turn this into the Minecraft podcast, what have you? I'm kidding. What have you guys been doing?
Well, for Minecraft, if you go to my brother's YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/istvan82, ISSTVAN82, You'll see me, XV, and my brother and his girlfriend all playing Minecraft at the same time. It is complete chaos, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I was joking because in the pre-show, all we were talking about was Minecraft, and I'm like, I am completely lost. I have no idea what you guys are talking about. But it looks like I've always wanted to play it. So basically, you build stuff? Is that...
Basically, you do whatever you want. You can
build
stuff
out of other stuff and dig for other stuff and get killed by giant phallic monsters.
It sounds like my dreams, so that's great.
But, dude, you can build circuitry and stuff. I saw a video where a guy made a computer.
I saw where somebody built
a team of people, actually.
I saw where somebody built, like, the Turing machine or something. No, I think somebody built an Enigma device or an Enigma machine or something on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And the other thing, just before we go, that I'm doing this week on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/flailthroughs, I've got a brief series going up this week on the game I've been playing, Gundam Battle Operation. It's Japanese freeware for the PS3, and I am explaining all of the menus so that people who can't speak any Japanese can actually know what the hell they're doing when they play the game.
And you don't speak Japanese, though, right?
I know just enough to get completely lost. 16 years worth of trial and error is what I know of Japanese. So
like square peg, round hole, hammer. Nice.
Everything I've learned from blundering through and from other people playing the game, all pretty much in one video. Four videos. So
John just hopped in the chat, and we were hoping that he'd be on the show. But John, we're going to have a Google Plus Hangout right after the show. It's going to be awesome. Actually, the thing I didn't mention, if you heard Google Plus stuff in the show, it meant that it actually made the show. So if there's something that we like, we might actually use it. But if you didn't, it sucked. That's basically the gist. So, so you can find me on Twitter at BKilby. I'm, now that JD has really sold me on the tweet scheduling feature of TweetDeck, I'm actually going to put stuff on. I can't really carry on a conversation because I probably posted it like 3 days before, but I'm going to put stuff up.
It's awesome. Scheduling is awesome.
Yeah, I've been doing that for TF Radio, our at TF Radio Twitter feed. And you can also find me at facebook.com/BrianKilby. We can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio, and like I said, on Twitter at TF Radio. Okay, for the guys, I'm Brian Kilby. We'll be back next week. If you're watching live, we're going to like stop this call on Skype here and hop on Google Plus in like 2 minutes. Some of us anyway. I don't know if everyone is. But it'll be fun. And if we don't come back next week, it means we all died on Google Plus. Probably tracks. So wish us luck. The following clips are from our January 16th, 2013 post-show hangout. Follow us at tfradio.net/gplus to join in.
Now, are they a little bit bigger than the Hercules guys?
Yeah, I haven't actually taken these out of the box, but I've watched reviews for them, and they sit about a half inch to an inch bigger than the Hercules figures when they're combined. So I'm hoping in robot mode that he's going to be a little bit bigger than Hercules.
I'll be honest with you, that kind of feels weird to me for some reason, that Superion would be taller than Devastator. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be cool, but in my head, I don't know.
Yeah, but airplanes are always bigger than construction vehicles.
Don't talk to me about scale in Transformers. I'm talking about the illogic. I don't know. I just always think of like Devastator as like the big one. But yes, you're right. If your torso is a Concord or a Blackbird, you're probably bigger.
So also, if anyone needs a Transformers T-shirt, Walmart has Transformers T-shirts for like $7.50, and it's like 97¢ shipping. I got a Fall Cybertron T-shirt, and it was the Dinobots, and it's just like black and silver. It's awesome.
Now, that's great for you, Diecast, because you look like, you know, a normal average-sized dude like John is, but do they have those for, like, hopeless fat ass? Yeah, I just asked JD, and he confirms that he describes his shirt size as 10th.
I thought it was 10th. I say 10th. Yeah.
They have 2XL.
Oh, there you go. That's like half 10th, I think.
That's
small 10th.
Trax is recording, and that scares me.
Oh, yeah. Dance remix coming up.
Brian, that's definitely a trip for you.
What?
Huh?
What? Hey, Brian, your picture is still the same, by the way, but that's okay. That's all right, man. That's all right. You're a man of power.
He's got that creepy face going on in that photo.
Yeah, you got rape face with your 20-pound dumbbell.
That's a 60-pound dumbbell.
Oh, my mistake.
In that photo, I make a point to show the dumbbells, the weight. So,
sir, I am mistaken.
Sorry, if you get a chance, you can see the new photo. It's from the same period, so it's about 90 pounds ago.
Same vintage. Oh, yeah, it looks like the same night.
No. It's me with a mustache. Me with a stash.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, that's right. Again, the, rocking that rape face. Is that a weight belt?
Yes, it's a weight belt.
God. You're a monster. You really got after it. I don't want to make you feel bad. I'm actually complimenting you now without sarcasm, believe it or not. But you really got after it in those days, huh?
I miss it. I had time to work out.
Yeah, I had time to do things. I had time to sleep. It was awesome.
Yeah, I miss those. I miss those days.
I miss regular rest in the intervals recommended by doctors.
Yeah.
I miss that.
I worked out 7 or 8 hours a day.
Whoa, you did have time.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is thrilling conversation to everybody.
Well, okay. It's kind of like the RFC post show, except you know.
Yeah, no transfer, not enough to like keep your interest. XV is my barometer for interest. If XV sounds half engaged, I know we're doing good. You set a high bar, my friend.
Now, see, I could be very engaged if Brian would get his camera on and eat something stupid like the old days.
Like a muskrat or a bucket of wild scorpions? Wild. Like there's domesticated scorpions.
Brian,
scorpions.
Do you have a muskrat?
No.
Do you have muskrat love?
No.
On your iPod? No. What?
I don't even know what that is.
It's a song, Muskrat Love.
No. How can I know that and Brian doesn't?
I don't know. He's a bad North Carolinian.
What world is this that we are in right now?
Is that what they called North Carolina natives?
Yeah. Yes, that's a...
Carolinian?
Yes, in fact it is.
What do they call people from Kentucky?
Kentuckian.
Really? Yeah. Kentuckian?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And XV is a Tennessean.
Well, in Tennessee we call them the Hicks.
Man, I can't wait to get my, not Superion stuff. That's got me excited. You'll have to tell me, if you open it within the next week or so, you'll have to tell me what it's like.
Yeah, I mean, I would have opened it right away, but I watched so many reviews on it in the anticipation of getting it, and then I got it, and I was like, eh.
Well, man, but it's so modern internet.
It is just the aerial bots.
Yeah, I'm just like, I need to put the whole thing together.
Hmm.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. I mean, I did wait to get Hercules for very slightly less as a group. And so you could, like, you know, it's like a gift set, essentially. So this is like...
Be right back.
This is different. I mean, you're going to have to wait. And then also, if they send, like, a defective figure, they're going to have to send a replacement part in the next figure, like they did the last time around. So.
Yeah.
On the other hand, though, at least you know they will take care of that. So, I mean, you've got some assurance going in. This has to be a lot more comfortable to... kick into than Hercules was at the start.
Yeah, probably. And I think at least now there's like there's a level of expectation as far as like quality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so.
It's the same thing Mastermind has going on now too. You know, everybody is really positive on the quality of the Heart to Steel Seeker figures, who's, you know, off brand name I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah, I gotcha. They're like a deluxe size, aren't they? Like roughly
Something like that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Just actually, for some reason, I guess that's in scale with other things if they're trying to be classics-y. But whenever I looked at the pictures online, I was always like imagining them as like slightly bigger than that. But that's
cool. Voyager, yeah.
Yeah. I just always assume like the third-party stuff is bigger, on the bigger side.
Yeah, I mean, you do kind of get that sense, don't you?
Yeah. But so, XB, what was the last... Oh my gosh! What was the last? Sorry, I think my dog ate a Stikva armor piece. So that's interesting. Anyway, so what's the most recent toy or two that you've gotten? Because I haven't had a chance to talk to you in a few weeks.
Well, I got the Wave 3 Fall of Cybertron deluxes around the end of last month.
That's a Kickback and Ultra Magnus
and Starscream and Starscream. Sideswipe and Air Raid. Yeah, Air Raid.
Did you review those, or was that Rob?
No, I did the reviews for those.
Okay, so I read those, so they were good. Okay. Yeah. So you were kind of you weren't so keen on Kickback.
No, and I was kind of disappointed by that, because if you read the review, you saw there was a lot of stuff I liked about what they did with how they designed the figure, but it's just floppy.
Floppy?
Yeah. It's too much ball joints without enough places to lock things down.
So it's kind of like when Beast Wars goes bad. Whenever it went bad, it was kind of a floppy or...
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
It does remind me of some Transmetal 2s that way.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a good line to reference.
The robot itself is really nice, though.
It is. I like I said, there's design aspects of this I like a lot. It really falls short in insect mode, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that mode is when I looked at the pictures. it's one of those things where it's an insect because we said so. You know, and it's really just Kickback in a pretzel with, like, you know, limbs going here and there. But the robot looks really cool.
I can see the locust in the alternate mode. It's just, I would have really liked that to hold together more solidly.
I've been going through boxes of, like, old Transmetal 1s and some Fusor stuff. And I gotta say, that stuff has kind of, it's finally starting to age in my eye. When I'm looking at it, it looks like a bygone era. And I feel like even as recent as like a couple years ago, if I looked at it, it still would have held up. But the Transmetal 1 stuff, and it may be partly because I see it in packaging. So I'm like looking at it like in, like, quote unquote, in package. The packaging has like a weird, like, vintage look to it, like a 90s look to it. But yeah, even that toy design, like, so like even Beast Wars now are starting to feel vintagey. It's interesting.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. I mean, some of them already had felt that way for a long time, especially like some of the first year stuff.
Yes.
But I think the Transmetals held up the longest overall because they were just so middle of the road.
Yeah, and they were pretty detailed. I mean, the molds had some pretty intricate detailing in them.
Talk about horrible colors, though, with the colors they were using and the chromes and the... They looked a mess.
Well, they look a mess when, like, the chrome is, like, shedding off, like, melting chocolate. It's not pretty. Actually, it's not even Beast Wars. My, what class was that? I guess it's leader class.
Ultra Jetstorm?
Yes, Ultra Jetstorm. Holy crap.
I know, man. Everybody has that problem. Everybody Holy has that. Crap.
Yeah, I mean, he's... Oh, man, no. It looks like the polar ice cap. But you know what hasn't... You know what well, I'm just saying. He's shedding.
I know.
Shedding like a shih tzu.
Or anyway. Transmetal 2 Scourge, for that matter.
Don't tell me that. I haven't dug him up yet, so...
Okay, my advice to you is don't, because then it'll be like, you know, Schrodinger's Transmetal.
Okay.
So, man, you know, until you get it out and see that all the chrome is falling off of it, and I don't just mean the clear paint coat on top flaking off, the actual chrome layer itself peels off of the plastic.
That's awesome. I feel like it's
and
like
that happens
King Tut's
even
tomb.
The unopened ones.
Oh, that's the worst, dude. Like, so yeah, I've seen. Yeah. You'll find them. The auctions on eBay will tell you, like, ah, oh, the chrome is like shot, and it's like on a sealed transformer.
Yeah,
you know, it's literally like whatever tiny bit of air, if it's just age or I mean whatever, it's like an unstoppable process.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. It's sad. Chrome is always a regretful decision. In
I mean,
toy
sometimes
design.
The chrome works out really well. I mean, look at Scourge from Robots in Disguise. You know, that trailer is one big solid sheet of chrome, and that's still holding up 10 years later.
Does that have to do with the color, like the or the lack thereof? In the chrome
itself. You
know, itself.
I do wonder sometimes if the paint coat reacts with the chrome itself and causes it to fail like that, but mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's, like, conclusively proven that's the case. The bare silver does seem to hold up better than anything else.
You would think there's something to that, because there is, like you said, there's a noticeable difference. Even, I would say even across, like, the different colored chromes, I bet you could take a survey and maybe spot some that hold up better than others. There's got to be.
You know, the worst thing for that I remember is off of like old Bandai and Playmate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of those cases, it didn't seem like they were even using a proper chrome process. They were getting like the really highly reflective silver paint and using that as a substitute.
Interesting.
And that stuff just wore off like nothing.
So how is the Bandai business going? If you don't mind me asking, how's that toy world?
Expensive.
Well, what's out now? I mean, like, is there a Power Rangers line going right now, or is that kind of on the back burner, or what?
No, I mean they're keeping Power Rangers current like always. There hasn't really been a. There was one year where their line kind of changed off, and boy, that's loud.
Wow.
Better.
Did a car drive through Brian's bedroom? What happened?
Brian was shredding something.
Sorry.
That's the sound of Brian eating a snack. It's a violent, very violent.
Well, I always say nobody needs to watch me eat, but in Brian's case, nobody needs to hear him eat.
Whip out the mandibles. Mm-hmm. So Power Rangers. What is there like a current series? Is there like a 2013 or 2012 series right now?
The 2013 series will start in February or March on Nick.
What's the theme?
That's so hard to explain.
Is it like animals or vehicles or like you know the Zords? Like what are we looking at here?
Heads.
Head. Huh. So like
yeah,
like giant floating heads.
The Zords are animalistic vehicles, by which I mean like there's one that's a train that's sort of supposed to look like a snake.
Okay.
You know, it's that kind of thing.
Okay.
But the gimmick of the line is interchangeable heads that you can put on each Zord.
So does each Zord have, like, its own set of heads, or is it, like, completely like Scramble City, anything goes?
They're everywhere. It looks
so
like
it's stuff. Just heads. It's just heads.
It's each one has its own specific head, and then you can buy. The way they're doing it with the Power Rangers line is they're selling them as the motorcycle toy accessories. Uh-huh. And they have the removable heads on those that you can use to replace on the main Zords.
What's it called?
The series is called Megaforce.
Megaforce, okay. It's not
Headmasters.
Yeah, yeah, something like yeah, that's right. Ha ha. Wonderful. Knowing Hasbro, that's available, I'm sure. Somebody doesn't pay the lawyer bills. So that's interesting. So that's on. So that's on Nick.
Yeah.
Cool. Very nice. Very nice. You know what?
Yeah,
they
just wrapped up the 2011 series a couple months ago.
Now was that on Nick too, or
yeah,
not?
That's why. Okay. That's why it was still the 2011 series at the end of 2012.
Gotcha. That's right. Big cable scheduling. Yeah. You gotta love it.
20 nice. New episodes nice. Per year.
So they like to So they have to take their time.
Although, in the line's defense, it seemed to do really, really well in toy sales. So,
okay,
it worked out for them one way or the other.
What was the theme of that series, like, as far as, like, the toy?
That was Power Rangers Samurai.
Okay. That's
a lot more straightforward.
Yeah, that's totally like an easy sell with kids. Because kids still like samurai, right? Well, obviously, right? They still like ninjas and things like that.
I suppose. Mm-hmm. They like Ninja Turtles.
Boy, they love Ninja Turtles, let me tell you that. Yeah, because that's hard to find now. Those toys are hard to find.
And, you know, as a child of the late 80s, I'm very pleased by that.
Is this better? Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Can. Are you moving? Or what's with all the Lowe's boxes?
That's stuff that I haven't quite moved in when I moved in 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. No, that's okay. That's all right. I'm just asking. Or you could have said that's work I brought home.
Yeah,
I would have believed you that.
This is just a right, different angle. This is the laptop.
Oh, okay. I can figure that. I can tell now. And the cat thing is behind you there too, isn't it? Yep.
Camera 2.
That's where the cats take a dump.
Yeah.
In that tin bucket or what?
Yep.
Did you ever watch his webcam site, dude?
That's the litter cam. That is so the litter cam, yeah.
Is that like
that
a Ustream channel?
That is the home watch his cat shit.
That sounds like half a Ustream.
I have a Ustream channel for it, yeah.
Is it on?
Do you?
No, I have a domain for it too. It's watchmycatshit.com.
you've got to put that up, dude. You've got to put that up. You could get like an embarrassing amount of ad revenue.
I think Kim yelled at him about it.
Kim gave me so much grief over it, yeah.
She gave you cat shit over it. You need to put it up, and then when you get your first ad check in, you just need to snap it 3 times in front of her face.
That's true.
So in like 24 years?
Yeah. when you get that $10 check, you need to just wave it in front of her and say, "This is 2 McRibs for me," and then walk out.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.